Would you join with me in reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. From these verses, I would like to share some thoughts with you as we conclude our time together. Prayers for thee and me. I only titled it that to try to remember. Prayer for thee and me. So if you're going to pray for me, this is what I want you to pray for. So if you ask me, what can we pray for? We do that normally on Tuesday evening in our men's group. What can I pray for you for? So if you've ever wondered what you can pray for, this is it. And also, if I pray for you, this is what I'm going to pray for. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that you can use that help you frame a prayer to the Lord on behalf of someone else. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and following, if you have someone who is really resistive to the message of Christ, you can pray those words back to the Lord. Or you can pray out of the Lord's example of how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, or you can follow his example for praying in John chapter 17. This is a passage that I like to use because it describes what it might be like to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil to write someone's name at the top and then to list 5 topics to pray about for that person when you pray for them. That's the perspective we're going to take into this passage. So we'll read it together, and then we'll answer this question. If you put someone's name, a loved one or an acquaintance, at the top of a piece of paper, and then made a list of 5 topics to pray through for them, what would the list be? So you can choose a spouse, a child, a friend, relative, or in Nate's case, a neighbor. You would have a ready-made list of 5 different things that you could pray for someone else, and you would have confidence. 1 John. Have confidence that what we're saying, he will hear because it's in keeping with his will. We have confidence if we pray according to his will that he hears us. So we don't have to have any doubt that we're praying the right thing. And if someone is praying for us, personally, I would like to know that when Shirley prays for me, these are the 5 things she's going to pray for. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to spend 5 hours there, but simply pray for one of them, one each day, perhaps, for a week. But it's a consistent way of sharing prayer requests on behalf of someone else that you love, that is in keeping with God's will. Now, as we read through this, and you're free to join me if you'd like to, I'll be reading from the ESV. You'll notice that in 2 of the verses in this section, there are words, action words, that begin with the letter D. Now, you know me well enough, probably what's going to happen when we look at each verse. The words are going to start with D. Okay. That's just the way I think. So honestly, when I sat down with the Lord and looked at this passage for the very first time in terms of preparing a lesson from them, and I read through it, the D words just came to mind. Now, to me, that is something more than just coincidence. That's just the way I understand some of the words in the Bible, some of the verses in the Bible. It just comes to me. So I'm thankful for that, so I don't have to stumble around and try and find something. It's just right there. So I'm simply going to pass on to you what I believe the Lord passed on to me. Now, not we sat down and I heard his voice and some large event and all of it. It's not like that. It's just that, yeah, I think that's right. And then you test it to see indeed if it is right. So as you read through this with me, these things will come to mind. And so you will have, I hope, when we're finished, a list that you could put a name to pray for. So your grandchildren, Brother Lowell, put her down. My grandchildren, yep, I'm going to pray this for you. I already do. I do for my children. It just works for me. And I'm not saying that this prayer will work. You know, we can claim from God that this is going to happen if you pray that. It's not like that. It's just a way of hanging your hat on something. It's okay. I want to pray this for this grandchild or this for that one. So let's look at these. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as it happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing the will and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. As we look at this, I'd like to suggest that it's a list of topics you can use when you're praying for someone. And I hope we're not going to see this as some colloquialism where we're dumbing down the Word of God, but we're actually trying to see it in its practical application. So let's look at these together. The first one is destination. So you're going to say, wait a minute, what destination is mentioned here? I'm not speaking of it in terms of geography or topography, but in terms of goal. We want to pray for each other that we have the right goal in mind spiritually, so we don't spend our time living for earthly things when we should be living for eternal things. You know as well as I do, you can get busy, and the immediate crowds out the important. And I know that because it can happen to me. We want to be preoccupied in our spirit, in our heart, in our soul with eternal things. So this doesn't mean you're a monk up on top of a hill with a cloak and a hood humming things. It's not like that. It's that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're thinking, does this have the correct eternal significance that I want to have when I stand before my judge? Is this really eternally focused? It's interesting, when I looked at the NIV translating, the editors had published this, translating the first word in this text, it said, as for other things. And when I read that, it's like, as for other things. It's almost like this is secondhand to us. But that's not what God intends. He intends for us to take this as primary importance. You see, your destination will determine where your trip ends up. So you've traveled with a GPS, right? Anybody here not traveled with a GPS? So we've all traveled with a GPS. How well does a GPS work if you don't put in your destination point? And yet we can live weeks at a time and never talk to God about the destination of what we've set our affection on. It's no way to live, and that's certainly no way to pray. So we don't say, okay, Lord, I want to pray to you about this honorary wife of mine, and would you just please help her? Well, help her do what? We have to talk to the Lord about what we want to pray about. And the Lord might say back to you, well, you know, we can deal with her, but really I want to change you first. Well, I didn't want to pray about that. I want to pray about her. And the Lord says, I want to talk to you about you. Our destination becomes extremely important when we're praying. How many of your grandchildren, Brother Lowell, and my grandchildren, do you want to set an eternal destination as the focus for their life? All of them. Absolutely. We're so familiar with this, we take it for granted. But I can tell you what, the next verse, verse number 2, tells us, if they set a destination of the Lord in their life, they're going to have problems with two enemies. The first, verse number 2, is evil men. So we want to ask the Lord for deliverance during those times when evil people come against them. And they will. It's interesting to note, these people don't have faith, and so they're evil and wicked. The word evil is actually a word which is it has an A in front of it, and then it has the root word for our word, topography. So it's atopical. Means it's out of place. Wicked people are out of place. And you only have to look at some of the stuff going on in Washington and other places. There's a lot of people that are out of place. And they're going to continue to be because they don't have faith. And because of that, they are wicked people. Can you imagine going to school and you have oversight over a classroom of first graders, and you're going to try to talk some of them into changing their gender? That's wicked. But our children live there. Now, they may not go to school there, but they live in the same neighborhoods as those people. There will always be people around our young ones who are trying to talk them into offending God. And we need to pray that God will deliver them from those types of people. Have you ever had a wrong thought in your life? Yeah, you have. Where did that thought come from? Did you ever have anyone suggest to you that you do something that you should not do, that you knew was wrong, but they encouraged you to do it anyway? We are surrounded by those in a world who are dedicated to replacing God with themselves. And we need to pray for deliverance for our spouses, for our children, for our friends, to be delivered by God from those people. Just think of how much pressure comes on a young woman who is unexpectedly, air quotes, pregnant. Just think of the pressure. We need to be delivered from those kinds of thoughts. You may have noticed a man arrested for simply standing quietly on a sidewalk near an abortuary. Wasn't saying anything to anybody. Wasn't praying out loud. Wasn't doing anything except standing on the sidewalk. And he was arrested and fined for standing on a public sidewalk. How could that be? How can that happen? It's an amazing reality. We need to be delivered from wicked and evil men. But that's not all. When you set God as your primary target of your faith, which requires that you walk in a particular way, and there is a particular reward at the end of that, you're going to find yourself face to face with another enemy, and that is called the evil one. The last word in this verse is an adjective. It always requires answering the question, what or who? Evil what? Rescue us from evil. Evil what? The evil one. Same use of the term as in the Lord's model prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. Now, I've heard some teaching that we should pray a hedge of protection around each other. And that's fine. I'm not going to argue over that. That is found in the book of Job. I get that. But we just need to pray that God will deliver our loved ones from the way they're feeling and thinking and acting if it's inconsistent with the will and the ways of God. That's where strongholds come from. Believing and behaving in a way that is contrary to the will and the ways of God. And we want to pray against that. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter what they're going through. Please, Lord, deliver them from the evil one. And we're not talking about thinking that there's a demon behind every salt shaker. It's not like that. Just the common course of living each day, and you see a loved one who is thinking in a way that's inconsistent with God's ways. We want to pray for deliverance and defense against those things. Do you pray for your husband to be defended against the allurement of sin? I once asked, well, we met across the way at the diner before it was always a diner, but before it was remodeled and made larger. It was very small, just had a single counter and had two or three tables in there. We were meeting there, and I was talking with the guys. This is right after we first came, so 89, 90. We were sitting there. There were probably five or six guys around the table. And so I asked them, I'd like to take a vote, because I'm always wanting to find what everybody's thinking about. What is the worst time of year for temptation, for moral temptation? Now I'm going to ask you to see if you can figure out when that was. Summer? That's close. Spring. Why, I asked them. I asked the question, why? And one guy that was my age just blurted out, that's when women start taking their clothes off in public. Gals, please don't misunderstand. We're not creepers because we are visually attentive. And it doesn't mean you're awful because you're visually attractive. We face a wicked enemy who is all eager to remind us of what we should not do and should not think about. Ladies, you also have a similar temptation, but in the realm of fantasy, not reality. Four, pray for determination. It is so easy to get tired and give up on God and His things. Shirley and I watched a movie last night. Let's see if I can recall the name of it. Don't help me, baby. I've got to get this on my own. I'll get there. Hang on. I'll get there. I think I'll get there. Do you believe? And it starts out with a sermon in a church with a preacher, and who had had an experience with a guy dragging a cross down a sidewalk. And the guy dragging the cross said, "Do you believe in the cross?" And that prompted a message in his heart. Do I really believe the cross and what it means? Do I really take it to heart? Or is it just words? So we watched that. And it actually captures snippets of the lives of 12 people who come into contact with the realities of the cross. It's done very well. And one of the things I noticed as I watched, whoever wrote that and whoever produced it did a really good job on making sure, as a part of the experiences of the people, that he conveyed or she conveyed the reality that so many of us pray to God and hope he's going to do something, and when he doesn't, we give up on him. As if God has to act according to our expectations. I've said before, and I'll say it again, God has some interesting ways of answering my prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe, sometimes he says wait, and other times he says, you have to be kidding me. When I got on the other side of no, I can give up pretty easily because I'm a half-empty glass type of guy. Where were you, God, when I needed you? And then we kind of carry on this battle with God the rest of our life. We've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it just doesn't work. God's not listening. He doesn't care. And all sorts of criticisms of God, the maker of heaven and earth. I can tell you, he cares. I had an interesting experience. It's been 2 weeks now, baby. I went in to have my yearly checkup and have a colonoscopy. Hope that doesn't make anybody squeamish or anything. And it was going to be different because I wear an ostomy. So it was going to be different. So I went in, I drunk the stuff, and I stayed by the white throne, and I did all of that. And I went in, I'm laying there, they're prepping me, the doc comes in, hey, we're going to do this, and you know, we'll take care, make sure everything's okay. And I'm laying there, so okay, okay. And I think I was having some blue coat jitters. I was dehydrated, and I went into AFib. Yep, I did. And the doctor came in after she had already come in and told me what she was going to do, and she came in to tell me what she wasn't going to do, and I needed to immediately go down to the emergency room and die. Not really. But I had to go down to the emergency room. Something interesting happened because I was already wired. I mean, I got wires hanging off of me. I got IVs going in. I got people all around me. And then I noticed, just barely noticed, because I was just trying to collect all the thoughts that were going in. You know, veterans, maybe it is for veterans. But anyway, two people came in. One on my right and one on my left. So I had this hand here and I had this hand here. And on each side, someone simply slipped a hand up over this hand. Didn't grip it, just laid their hand there. Same thing on the other side. I didn't look to see if it was a male or female. I know nobody's going to be wanting to get frisky with me there. It's not like that. I wonder what they were trying to get ready for. Maybe veterans who had just been told they're going to have a colonoscopy and they went through all the preparations. Now you're not going to have one. For them to get violent? Like that's going to change something? But I do remember feeling the touch of their hand. I still don't know why they did that, but I suspect I know. Just reassurance. Going to be okay. We got everything covered. I can't tell you how many times God has come up to me and put his hand on mine to comfort me when I didn't know my way. Shirley and I reminisced about some things this past week, and I shared with her something I never shared with her. What happened the day after my dad called and said he sold the farm, which he hadn't told me about. I just heard about it after it was done. I mean, that was a dark day for me. Now, I had a relationship with the fort chaplain, and he had given me a key to the building and a key to the sound system so I could go in and get things ready and put music on that needed to be playing when the guys came in for service on Sunday morning. I was over there all the time, but on this particular time I went in, the next day I went in and I looked at some stuff. I was the only one in the building. Actually, if I recall right, I locked the building behind me. And I went up in the balcony and sat there, turned on the sound system, and I put on a tape. And it had one of the songs that it had on it, is about the return of the Lord. And I sat there playing that song over and over and over until I had memorized all the words of that song. Comforting myself with the truth of God's word in a very dark time. If you do not reach out for the Lord in your dark times and ask Him to bathe you with His word so that you can stay determined to do His will, you're going to fall. We cannot trust possessions to make our life better. You cannot trust power to make your life better. You cannot trust popularity to make yourself better. And you cannot expect pleasure to make your life better. One person and one person only makes your life better. And that's Jesus. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. He's the light you need. Take it from someone who's been in dark places. You need Him. And you need Him for this. For direction through the mess. May He direct your ways. It's an interesting word, the word direct there. It means to clear out clutter. Many of us, as we walk our way with Christ and we kind of deviate from the destination God had set for us, we have the infiltration of worldly thoughts, we have the pressure from the enemy, we have lapses in our faith. We need direction. We need somebody to come in and clear out the clutter. And this is what we pray for. Oh Lord, clear out the clutter of our loved ones so they can be free to walk in your ways. He promises a straight path, but it's often uphill. And it has tough stuff on it. And the closer you get to heaven, the steeper the climb. But God will direct your ways if you ask Him to, and then trust that what He tells you is non-optional. Just do it. Just do it. I was saddened. That's been several years ago now. Let's see, mother's been gone since 2016. I was saddened about a year before that, no more than that, 2 years before that. She was still living at home. And she fell. And she was unable to get up. You see advertisements about that on television. She laid there for a day. My sister, two of my sisters live fairly close to her, and so they checked on her pretty frequently. Couldn't get to the phone, couldn't answer the phone. I don't know that they called one another, but anyway, evidently not. Mother laid there for 24 hours, and Linda, my oldest sister, found her. I was there not long after that. Went into the bedroom. Where do you think her lifeline was? Hanging on the bedpost. Why wasn't it here? Where it's supposed to be. Why isn't prayer where it's supposed to be? Do we really believe that little in the goodness of God? to talk to him about everything. Now, this is what I'm using right now to help me organize and plan prayer time. So Shirley knows what she's getting. This is what I pray. And it helps me, and I hope it'll be helpful for you as you put a loved one's name at the top of your list and then put these topics under it. Because I think there are God's ways of helping us pray. Dear Father, thank you for the time to be reminded of things we already know, but sometimes we don't think about enough. Help us to pray. Please help us to pray. Teach us to pray. And then increase our faith as we walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.